You know, this is something that we don't have to agree to sign at the table. But what Justin said, he can certainly speak for himself too, is that we can, if we're going to continue to negotiate 2511, like he and the step two hearant, person who's hearing the grievance, can't agree to extend that deadline, right? But that's not pulling the grievance from consideration.
Can or cannot?
What we're willing to do is to continue negotiating 2511, but that's not saying we are pulling the grievance.
Right. We're not
just extending the grievance.
Just agree to extend, just to hold it into abeyance until we do reach a final agreement during the full
program. Yeah, or we may not. We might still be status quo language. Right? We just might not be able to reach an agreement. We're not saying that we are signing off on this until full book, right? We're going to continue in this reopener to negotiate 2511, right? As we're going to continue negotiating it, you know, Justin can reach out to the grievance person who's hearing it and say we're going to extend this as they're continuing to negotiate it. So we're not closing it off until full book. Do you understand what I'm saying, Mike?
Yes, I do. In other words, let me see if I can reflect back. That at this moment, we're going to look at another date, maybe, or other dates, mm-hmm. with the hope and intention that we're going to resolve 2511 at that time. And so we'll be resolving 2511 in this round of negotiations. While we continue to negotiate that, we're going to hold the grievance as in a stayed capacity. It's not going to be withdrawn, mm-hmm. but at the same time, it's not going to be prosecuted until we see what we can do.
Held in abeyance.
Yeah.
So we're not continuing the negotiation of 2511 to the full book.
We're still going to continue negotiating this reopener full contract, right? So we're not going to get that all signed off on.
Since we have a couple other issues we still have to resolve, mm-hmm. we might as well take a stab at 2511 at the same time.
Okay, yeah. And that's what I wanted to make clear, that the language on Article 3 was conditioned upon concluding today.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. I have...
But before we do scheduling, too, do you have one more second, Mike?
Sure.
Okay. So we just wanted to reiterate on 2511 itself, just to make sure that we understand the university's position on this. My understanding of the university's position on 2511 is that the payment of these overload compensations is contingent and connected to the budgetary outlays for these items, that these things are items that have been budgeted into ENG and to OPS over time, and that there are compliance and reporting issues around those specific overload compensation payments, right? That's what I understand the university's position to be on 2511. Our position in the source of the grievance, you know, we're not...
Hold on, John. It looks like maybe no. It's not.
I don't think that's an accurate reflection of
okay.
position. Okay.
If it's not, any clarification would be helpful on that. I can tell you, our position is very simple, okay, on 2511. It's that when this goes to, if it were to go to an arbitrator, that arbitrator is charged with seeing, has there been a violation of the collective bargaining agreement language, right, in what the university is implementing. Our position is that the CBA is unequivocally clear that all extra compensation assignments have to be paid out of OPS funding and not salaries. You cannot pay extra compensation out of ENG. Reflected in the public records requests that we put in, we believe that there's clear documentation that these extra compensation assignments are being applied arbitrarily and inconsistently across the university out of both ENG funds and OPS funds. And so our position is that an arbitrator will look at that and say, the CBA clearly says extra compensation cannot be provided out of OPS or out of ENG, and here's clear documented examples of extra compensation being provided out of E&G, right? And so that's, the other elements may certainly be accurate or true about budgeting or history or these sort of things. I mean, I can't comment or compliance, I can't comment on those things. But what an arbitrator will look at in reliance in relation to the CBA, we think is very clear, right? So that's our position on that language and why we've been trying to resolve it through consultation and bargaining for quite a while.
So I'll start and then I'm going to let Jamie continue the conversation. Is that we're not, we agree with you, it needs to be fixed, okay? Because there's, but what you are interpreting as inconsistent, as an inconsistency, is in fact not consistent. Because of the fact that while the paperwork may reflect the funding source, when you look down into the financial documents that the university uses, that extra compensation has in fact been paid out of OPS funding, even though it may have been identified incorrectly on the paperwork that you will provide it pursuant to your public records request. But in sum, you know, and again, I'm going to let Jamie explain this. Under the Florida retirement system, any additional duties over and above the assigned FTE, and the assigned FTE could be a 1.0, it could be a 0.5, it could be a 0.75. The point is that any additional duties over and above that assigned FTE cannot be used as a credit toward your retirement calculation. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it has to be paid out of what we call an OPS funding source, okay? There are times when a faculty member may have additional administrative duties that are paid out of an administrative supplement. And this is where I'm gonna tag team Jamie and I'm gonna let her explain in a lot more detail. You can see, I mean, we've looked at this. We want to do this the right way. I think we have a commonality with the union on this. It's just that I think the language that I looked at that was proposed will not fix what you're trying to correct and what we are also trying to correct. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to come up with that language so that we can, in fact, correct it. And I don't know, on Monday, did we share with them the language? We didn't.
No, but we've
put forward a proposal.
Yeah,
you guys put forward a proposal, right?
Not what I saw.
Okay.
Okay. So, so let me let Jane talk.
After we met on Monday, I went back and pulled yours specifically. And if you look at your extra state compensation contract, because you used yourself for an example.
Yeah, sure.
It does say carry forward 6,200 as your pay index. Okay.
Well, I don't know what that 6,200 means. I don't know what that.
It's the pay index. It's the fund that they're pulling money out of to pay your extra state compensation.
Okay.
When you go pull the budgetary reports for carry forward 6,200, there is a carry forward 6,200 OPS line that you're being paid out of for your extra state compensation.
Mm-hmm.
But that it's kind of like I have a 1450 in HR. That's my pay index.
Sure.
I also have, as a part of 1450, there's an OPS line. Mm-hmm. But it's a subgroup. Mm-hmm. But you don't see that on your personal action form because that's not how they have us coded. But you wouldn't have known that by just pulling a contract. You see what I'm saying?
Well, you know what I don't mean to interrupt you, Jane. I'm sorry.
No. I'm just saying for that specific example, if you were looking at your extra state compensation contract, it does say you're being paid for from carry forward 6,200, which you could assume that that's an E&G fund, okay? But when you actually go into the like when your budget person goes into the budget and says, where was it being funded from? It's that carry forward 6,200 OPS line. Okay, so you were paid from OPS funds. It's just we don't have a carry forward 6,200 index and a carry forward 6,200 OPS index. It's all the same index.
Yeah.
It's all the same funding index. So it's a little complicated. I had to be schooled myself because I'm the same way with my funding, okay? So I just wanted to clarify that for you.
Do we need a more precise
Let me give you an example. As I mentioned last time, my personal situation is unique, but it's reflective of the handful of other situations that
I
saw
that
came up.
Yours, so I'm happy. I only looked at
yours. It's perfect.
That's all you had put on the table.
I'm happy. I'm glad. Yeah. I'm happy to talk about that. I appreciate you taking the time to do that.
But we want to correct the language. The point is that every time we come to a bargaining session and you make a new proposal, I have to look at it.
Yeah, sure.
Then she has to look at it, and then we have to contact the Florida Retirement System to make sure that what we're doing is okay. Mm-hmm. And so every time the new language is proposed, it takes time to do that. We are, based upon what Jamie has found and what was reflected in the records that we gave you, I compare it to, you know, there's a species name for an animal and then there's a common name.
Right.
And sometimes they're not compatible with each other, but it is
they're
what it is.
Thing, yeah.
And so what you're looking at on your paperwork that you're given is like the common name, but the species name that Jamie has access to is actually you are being paid out of the correct funding. But we agree that the language could be, the nomenclature could be cleared up somewhat so that you're happy, we're happy, but that we're all complying with the law.
So that's, you know, the reason that we've brought this to the university's attention, as well as means other things over the years, we've sort of done this on similar type things, is specifically for compliance. Like we're in 100% agreement that we want to ensure compliance between like the university, the CBA, and our reporting elements, right? My stipend is somewhat unique because I have, this is for my coordinator duties as creative writing, right? It's split among two funding sources, right? Like $2,500 is out of E&G, $2,500 is out of OPS, right? The reason that this came about is when I was hired, as I mentioned last time, right? I initially had a course release each semester for doing those coordinated duties. There was no extra compensation, right? Then after a few years in, the university said, look, we want to step back from course releases, and we want you to teach that full load 3-3 rather than 2-2, but we're going to provide you a stipend for your coordinator position. Okay, at that time, this was probably 8 or 9 years ago. At that time, that stipend, I believe, was incorrectly applied as ENG funds, right? That's the $2,500 allotment that went to ENG funds. It was clearly be extra compensation. I would have the exact same 3-3 teaching load as all of the other faculty in my department, the exact same service responsibilities. Those duties of creative writing are in addition to an established full-time position, right? Then a few years ago, the university said, you know what, this $2,500, it's not enough, that we need to increase the stipend, you know, to be fair. And when they increased that $2,500, it was out of OPS funding, right? So they're two completely separate funding sources, right? Now, Pam, you were saying that the state requires that anything as extra compensation, right, cannot generate retirement benefits to it, right? Correct, right? Right. So I am getting retirement benefits on that $2,500 that's being paid out of ENG.
But right? I'm not sure you are.
I am, because I've looked at, you guys send out. See, I am. And so I am. This is the problem. Additionally, the CBA also requires that if someone is receiving extra compensation, as in Article 9, they have to be contacted and voluntarily accept or reject those duties. Right? Each year, for the OPS function of my stipend, I get the annual, do you accept or reject these duties? For the $2,500 that's being paid out of ENG, I do not receive or get a letter that says, do you accept or reject these duties? So it's a completely bifurcated process for one stipend that's split into two things. Mm-hmm. We've proposed several ways in which this could be resolved, right? the simplest way is that all these stipends that are being paid out of ENG, it reverts to our current contract language and provides all of it out of OPS, right? That's the easiest way that we tried to present in consultation as a way to resolve this problem. There would be no more stipends paid out of ENG. Now, the university, when we have presented this, their background has said, this has practical challenges and implications because of the funding sources, right? That this just of budgeting and funding, right? It has been done this way previously, right? So when that argument was presented to us, we said, okay, the other way is to expand the language and add in that you could pay them out of either ENG or OPS, right? And so that was the language that we provided. In our conversation last week, we said, okay, well, we can simply strike this language. The requirement that's from the state says that if accurate, that you cannot provide retirement benefits based on extra compensation appointments. The university could correct that independently if this language is not in the contract. So that's our kind of position in the background on those things.
So let me throw another wrench in there. You can see, I mean, we've spent a significant amount of time on this. Some OPS monies is, in fact, ENG, even though it's an OPS fund. And let me explain that. And I think, you know, you've probably read the newspaper in the past year. There's been a lot of confusion on carry-forward funding. Mm-hmm. Carry-forward funding is, by definition, ENG money. Carry-forward funding is also a fund that you can actually pay OPS monies out of. So just because it's labeled as ENG doesn't mean that it's not an OPS fund, okay? Because the trigger that makes ENG money morph into carry-forward is June 30th of the fiscal year ending, okay? Sure. So carry-forward money, by definition, is in fact ENG money, which can also be an OPS fund.
Yeah.
So if it's just because it says ENG, and I'm going to take Jamie's word for it, she's looked at it. You may be being paid out of a salary fund for one of your stipends. Mm-hmm. I don't know. She's looked at it. I haven't. But all I just want to clarify that. Just because the funding source says ENG is going to have a OPS fund, because we have somewhat in our state confused matters by calling carry forward, and not ENG, because it's the same source. It's just a different type of ENG, and they clarify it by saying, okay, well, if it's ENG money at midnight on June 30th of the fiscal year, then as of midnight in 1 second, it now becomes carry forward, but it's still ENG, but you can also use it to pay OPS.
Sure.
So that's kind of...
Go ahead, please.
Your first 2,500, the documentation you received when you got that compared to the second 2,500, is it a different terminology, nomenclature, administrative way that it was produced?
It was a different dean.
When
he's on a reoccurring contract, in that contract it says this is your salary for your main job, and then it says, but you're also going to do this duty as the coordinator, so you're going to get this administrative supplement for $2,500. He gets that. He signs that. Let's say he signed that in 2000.
It was a while ago. Yeah.
2016. Mm-hmm. It's good for 3 years or whatever. Or the terms of employment don't change.
Yeah. They,
so he doesn't get a new one each year.
Right. But the original
so
way was said this different.
Yeah.
No.
It's different. It,
well, I'll have to go back and read his, but it includes all of that piece in there.
Yeah, but Daniel's saying that it's broken out.
It is broken. It's clear.
It is clearly itemized in the contract.
Yeah.
His concern is, and tell me if I'm wrong, but your concern is because you signed, and I'm just throwing out 2016.
Yeah, it's fine.
You signed that contract in 2016. Mm-hmm. He doesn't get it again in 17 to accept or reject, or 18 to accept or reject, or 19 to accept and reject. Is that correct?
No, and Jamie, you're absolutely right. And that's and what I would add to that. I'm going to assume, you know, everything you guys have said is absolutely correct, right? And Pam's saying that even though on the surface it's labeled as ENG or OPS, it's all essentially OPS.
We hope,
right?
Right.
Right. So I'm hoping that's the case. As faculty, and I don't mean just myself, they're not really invested in what's the funding source, right?
Yeah,
you
right.
know, like, so the way that it could be fixed, what faculty are invested in, is the language in Article 9 that says available extra compensation appointments with the university will be offered equitably and is appropriate to qualified faculty in sufficient time to allow for voluntary acceptance or rejection, right? It's that voluntary acceptance or rejection component that is where our faculty are invested, right? So in the scenario that you've outlined where that even though this says ENG and this says OPS, that they are essentially the same. Like, if I or a faculty member in my situation received that exact same letter that I get for the OPS component, but it also included that the part that's for the $2,500, if all that were included in one voluntary acceptance or rejection letter, that would resolve our concerns, right? The reporting issues and those sort of things are things that would be more addressed through HR, right, or through the university. What we don't want to have is a situation where a faculty member is receiving extra compensation through salary, and they are not allowed to voluntarily accept or reject those duties. And as I said last time, I'm perfectly happy with the amount of my stipend and doing those duties, right? But I can imagine a situation where a faculty member feels forced to continuing to do these extra compensation duties because they're not getting that annual letter of voluntary acceptance or rejection.
So what I'm hearing is that if the union would be willing to leave the language in 2511 as is, mm-hmm. if the university would be willing to change 9.4 to the language you proposed here.
Well, the only thing that I haven't proposed any new language here on 9.4, right? This is the current contract language. This is all I'm proposing is just striking the reference. This is currently in 9.4.
Right, isn't this what you proposed?
That's just
what? No. I'm just referencing. The only thing I propose is just striking the reference to 25.
Right. Okay. I think we're talking about the same thing. The union is proposing that 2511 remain as is, and that 9.4 be the same except for the strike through.
Our proposal is striking all of 2511. Right. Based on our conversations at the table last week. So we're proposing just striking 2511. That says it has to be paid out of OPS. That's where
that's state law anyway, right? I mean, that's being driven by the state.
Mm-hmm. Can we take a break, please?
Yeah. Okay. Well, all they're doing is making a proposal.
I understand.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.